Would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Last week we read the first part and the last part of the Gospel, or Luke chapter 1. The angel visit to Zacharias in the temple, Zacharias' response and how he lost the ability to speak for a time. And we picked up the last part of the chapter where it records John the Baptist's birth. And there's a little bit of a tension or controversy over what should his name be called. Apparently tradition was that you would call him by the name of his father, Zacharias, but his mother and Zacharias, they know his name shall be called John. And of course, he is the one that would be given to the work of preparing the way for the coming Christ. Well, this morning we now look at that interposing passage from verses 26 through 56. And there we read of the angel Gabriel's visit to Mary. And I think it'd be very possible to preach any number of sermons from a passage as this. And what we're going to do is look at the narrative and see the flow, as it were, of the big picture instead of just zoning in on one or two verses. Because I think it's very important that we, place ourselves in the context to hear the words. And I think one of the amazing things that when you suppose what Mary must have thought and what she must have heard as the angel was talking to her, let alone this angel visiting her to start with, and then the words that he speaks and how that they almost exceed the ability to comprehend and to understand what this means and how, in fact, it will work itself out. And of course, there's that verse, I think it's toward the end, it says, "And Mary pondered these things in her heart." And I think that is something we have to do too, to mull it over, to wrestle and think and piece it together as far as how, you know, the God of all eternity is going to enter human history, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, true God, true man, and would in fact be born, would in fact live, and then of course begin and do the work to which he was called. Anyway, Luke chapter 1 will begin at verse 26. Hear this portion of God's holy word. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this morning we continue our study of the narratives that surround the birth, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at the account of the angel's visit to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. We heard that of John's birth. We heard of how after they followed the instructions of the angel that Zechariah's ability to talk was restored. It is interesting that as we would celebrate the Christmas season, We, on a certain level, enjoy, I think, the lights, the decorations, the festivity of the season. And yet, we ought to always be very clear that our celebration of Christmas is not the world's celebration of Christmas. For even though we hear that verse, don't we? It is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to remember that what was given by God was much greater. And what we receive from Him makes everything else pale by comparison. For God gave us His only begotten Son, and it was He who would lay down His life to save His people from their sins. Well, there are some connections, I think, of similarity to the angel visit to Mary, as there was to Zacharias. That visit to Zacharias in the temple was a pretty isolated case. And now we have this angel visit to Mary, another isolated case. We ought not to forget that after the return of the exiles, After the restoration, as it were, of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem, that there had been 400 years since there had been a prophet from God, at least any sort of prophets that would speak the Word of God, and that their words would be written and recorded. And so it is that as the Lord is visiting and preparing to do this new work, that it is in fact a new day, a great transition that is taking place. This morning's scripture passage tells us of the angel Gabriel's visit to the Virgin Mary. He tells her that she is going to conceive and give birth to a son who is going to be the Savior of His people. In fact, He reveals to her that redemption, salvation, final deliverance, if you will come through the incarnation of God Himself. There's that one phrase, we'll look at that more closely later, but the angel says that holy thing which will be born of you will be called the Son of God. And in all the scripture and all the anticipation, all of the expectation, we've never heard this before. Certainly there was the promise of the Messiah. There was the anticipation of a deliverer, of the Christ who would come. But not before this were we told that this one who was to be the Savior, the Messiah, was going to be born to a particular woman in a moment in time. Well, as we come to verses 26 and following, one of the things that really struck me is how this is, there's really a surprise on a number of levels. You know, the first one the text calls us to, our attention to, is the place. You know, where is the spiritual center of the nation of Israel, of the Jews? Jerusalem, right? Well, where is the opposite of that? I told you to say the Gentiles, but as things come about and as are unfolded, that it would take place in Galilee, in Nazareth, is a pretty big surprise. You might recall, I think it's a conversation between Nathanael and maybe Peter or one of the other early apostles. They say that we have found the Christ. And his reply was, well, does anything good come out of Nazareth, come out of Galilee? And of course, the anticipated answer is no. We wouldn't expect that. We wouldn't look for that. And it is this fact that kind of sets us up. For Galilee's not the center of religion and learning. In fact, there's no holy or royal families that derive from that place. And yet it was here to which the glorious message of the gospel of the coming Christ would be delivered. Is it a big deal? Probably not huge, but is it significant? I think so. Especially when you consider how, as we just studied our study of the book of Acts, how, you know, it really was a fulfillment that the light of the gospel was going to shine forth, not just in Israel, in Palestine, but really it was going to shine throughout the whole world. In fact, our call to worship from Isaiah chapter 9 makes that very point. That a light has shined in the land of the shadow of death, in darkness. They've seen a great light. Well, what are we talking about? Well, prophetically, we're talking about the coming Christ. We're talking about the Messiah and the gospel of salvation that would come to those who didn't know, those who didn't have. In fact, even after Jesus was born, the wise men come from the east and they go to Herod and they say, well, where's the king? Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? And so Herod inquires. He says, well, where is the Christ to be born? And they find this somewhat obscure passage. I think it's in the book of Micah. And it says that in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, the Messiah would be born. Micah chapter 5. And of course, we'll look at that in a few weeks, I think, how Herod endeavors to strike down the Christ. But at any rate, we have here that the Lord chooses an obscure place. Next, we notice, verse 27, an obscure person. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. Mary was a young girl. Not unlike, perhaps, the young ladies in our congregation here. You know, there's this whole business where the Roman Catholic Church holds the teaching that Mary had to be immaculate, that she had to be without sin in order for her to bring forth the Lord Jesus without sin. And yet, even the words that we read in the passage, where you can, I think you can read some of the verses they base that on, but, you know, what is she told? The power of the Most High will what? Will overshadow you. What does that mean? It's greater than you. It's beyond. It's going to overshadow you, so that that holy thing that will be born of you will be called the Son of God. And so why would there need to be overshadowing? If in fact that was the case, at any rate, we're told that she was a young lady. She was betrothed, and she was betrothed to another, relatively speaking, nobody named Joseph. I mean, I know that they're famous now. Oh yeah, Mary's mother and father were Mary and Joseph. But at the time, in the day, these are nobody. In all likelihood, even Joseph wasn't a firstborn son. Was he landed? Did he have his own thing? Well, no, because when he went to be taxed, where did he have to go? From Nazareth in Galilee down to Bethlehem. So he was a skilled tradesman. And apparently he was in Galilee of Nazareth of Galilee occupationally, working for a living. Not bad, but again, not of the royal fanfare that we might hope or expect the Christ to be born to. It is identified that, you know, he could trace his ancestry back. You know, I don't know how many of you guys have gone on ancestry.com, but there's some pretty cool stuff on there. Find out who's related to who and what they did and who your long-lost relatives might be. Well, in this case, Joseph could trace his lineage to the house of David. So three surprises. The place, each of the persons. And that comes to our second point, the path of this redemption. And this we learn from the words of the angel. Notice first his greeting in verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." This angel, Gabriel, sent from God. Remember how when Zechariah questions whether or not what he said was true. How does the angel Gabriel reply? "I am Gabriel who stands," where? "Who stands in the presence of Almighty God. And you think I'm lying to you? That I'm not telling you the truth?" It couldn't be. It couldn't be. This same Gabriel now comes and extends God's gracious greeting to Mary. "Hail thou that art highly favored. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." At this point, she doesn't know how she is highly favored. She doesn't know. She's not yet been told how she is in fact blessed before all men. And yet that she is pretty clear. You know, I think there's always the matter of actions and reactions. And while we would resist the thought of worshiping Mary or praying to God through her, we ought not to diminish the super important role that she played in bringing about the incarnation of the Son of God. In fact, the angel calls her blessed a little bit later when the Holy Spirit comes upon her aunt Elizabeth. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and what does she say? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So, hold it in its proper perspective? Yes, absolutely. Mary was the one who gave birth to the incarnate Son of God. Remarkable by any standard, by any comparison. In fact, Mary, in her own view of herself, look at how in the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, verse 46 and 47, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For what? For He has regarded the lowly estate of His maidservant. Well, was she hoity-toity, as we say? Not at all. She was meek and lowly. The lowly estate of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. So he encourages her. You know, in verse 29 says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. You know, in our common parlance, we would say, who talks like that? Wonder where he's from. No, and some of that can be cultural, right? You go from one place and you hear, you know, greetings maybe with an Australian twist or maybe with a Canadian twist or down south. How are y'all doing? Or whatever you want to think that. And here, Mary hears this greeting and says, wow, that's a strange set of words put together. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Well, in her puzzlement, in her amazement, the angel says, verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Indeed, the angel is explaining to her this life-altering event that is going to take place with her. But not only is it a life-changing, life-altering, it's also world-changing, world-alternating. Altering. And that is going to make all the difference in all the world. When God speaks peace, when He pronounces His blessing, He means it. In fact, even as part of our worship services, you know, why do we do a benediction? Well, that benediction is heaven's word upon heaven's people. And of course, it is a word of blessing spoken not just with my good intentions, but it comes as I read the scriptures themselves. It comes of divine origin. And it's much the same way here. Blessed are you. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. The word spoken. Place this one in distinction from all the rest. There is only one God incarnate. There's only one Messiah. As Peter will say in Acts chapter 4, there's no other name. There's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Pretty exclusive. You know, what would you expect? How many Christs are there? How many Messiahs will there be? How many gods are there? One. One God. One way to God. And of course, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, Son of God Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. The promise had been made to David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He says, you will always have a son on the throne of his eternal kingdom. As that gets translated into the book of Daniel, this prophecy is spoken of the generations to come. And yeah, there will be nations rising and falling, but then will come the Christ. Then will come God Himself, a stone not touched by human hands, that will in fact come and destroy all the nations of the earth. And will expand and extend and increase. And of the increase, as we read in Isaiah chapter 9, of the increase of His government, there will be no end. This is what the angel is saying to Mary. Does she see it all? Does she comprehend it all? In all probability, no. But that which is spoken to her when heard by us, we certainly see the connection. We certainly can see its fulfillment and all of these things. The angel Gabriel delivers a message that was never delivered before. Yes, the Messiah had been promised back in Genesis chapter 3:15, back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, back in Genesis chapter 15 and 17, and again over and over and over. But that the Christ was going to be born, was going to be incarnate in the womb of a virgin woman. Yes, even that had been promised in Isaiah chapter 7. But in real time, in present history, not before now. The ones before told of the future Messiah. But when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, the Messiah was at the door. The Messiah was on the way. And He would be the final word that God would speak. For through the coming of Christ, God would in fact secure a full and free redemption. A full description and revelation of Himself. And of course, as we read this, you know, getting to the head of Mary a little bit. Wow, how can this be? I'm not even married yet. I haven't known a man. Look at verse 33, 34. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. So the mystery of the Incarnation is explained. As much as it's going to be explained. God is going to conceive His Son in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. And that Holy One who is to be born of her will be called the Son of God. The angel makes very clear that what is going to happen is a miracle. Is not normal biology. Even though Mary apparently had a pretty good grasp of how this biology thing worked. And of course it is a testimony to the wonderful grace of God. You know, I think it's interesting too. We want to sometimes think, and there are those that say, oh, the Holy Spirit is just revealed in the New Testament. But here, at this precipice between the Old and the New Testament, the angel Gabriel refers to the Holy Spirit with what expectation? With the expectation that those who hear would know what he's talking about. Whether you look in Matthew chapter 1, who tells the who tells Joseph that this thing is conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. And the same thing here, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Mary hears these words. And she believes what she's told. In fact, I think to bolster that faith, the angel continues by giving her a sign. And what is the sign that Mary receives? Well, look in verse 36. Now indeed, now look, behold. I think it was in our catechism class a week or two ago, the word beheld was in there. And we read our devotion, we beheld His glory. And I asked the kids, what does it mean to beheld something or to behold something? There's a few different questions and what it means to look at. It means to grasp with your eyes, to understand. And that's what the angel is saying. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. Now, the reference to the sixth month, back in verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. And of course, there's the question, is it the sixth month in the calendar? For us, it'd be June? Or is it the sixth month since the angel Gabriel visited Zacharias in the temple? We're not told. But we are told when we finally get to verse 36 that Elizabeth is now in her sixth month for a pregnancy, that is, who had been called barren. She who had no children is going to have a child. And you got to love verse 37, don't you? For with God nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. Then Mary replies, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Well, our time is pretty well spent, but from here on, Mary goes down to Judea, goes to visit her aunt Elizabeth. And of course, we read some of that last week, how the babe leapt within her womb, and then how Mary gives glory to God for the work of redemption that He was beginning to complete through her. So might it be that we, you know, store these things away. I know we're in an entertainment-focused society where, you know, we always have to be reading something, watching something, doing something. There's something pretty healthy to ponder and to reflect on the things of God. You know, maybe before you go to bed at night, just turn the lights down low, turn the television off and enjoy a cup of tea or something and just reflect upon what a wonderful gift God's grace has provided. And of course, it is in these times, it is at those opportunities that we, you know, get a sense of the joy and the particular privilege that belongs to us as God's people. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful to you for today, for your word, your will, your truth. We thank you for these scriptures, for the message and the words that they contain. Oh Lord, give us ears that hear and hearts that believe and understand. Indeed, that in this and through this, we might hold fast to your word and to the promise of your grace. Oh Lord, we thank you for this time to gather. We pray your blessing upon each and everyone. We pray for our loved ones, those in need, our children, grandchildren, those present and absent. Oh Lord, that your grace and truth would uphold and keep them all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we will receive your tithes and offerings for Northland Reformed Church. Father in heaven, we bow with thankfulness in our hearts that you would call a people out of darkness and sin into the gracious light and liberty of the gospel. Oh Lord, we will never tire of singing your praise. Bless these gifts, these offerings for the work and ministry of your church here at Northland Reformed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now sing number 200. Number 200, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear That..."